Is this a just war?
No. Under Catholic teaching, this is not a just war. The Catholic faith teaches us there are certain prerequisites for a just war. You can't go for a variety of different aims. You have to have a focus aim, which is to restore justice and restore peace. That's it.
Iran has been the chief exporter of terror. Is there no scenario in which preventing that can be a just war?
It's an abominable regime, and it should be removed. But this is a war of choice that we went to, and I think it's embedded in a wider moment in the United States that's worrying, which is this. We're seeing before us the possibility of war after war after war.
Okay, Cardinal, whoever that was, that's a cardinal speaking out. And you know what about the Iran war and President Trump? And that's, you know, the headlines. And over Easter, it was a topic of big discussion. And I heard it. I was in Canada with my sweetheart, with my son and his family. And I wasn't able to talk to you about it. But I want to talk about it today because I think that there is so much confusion. And it's important that we not be confused. God is not the author of confusion. The Bible says that. God, our God, is not the author of confusion. So is this war in Iran just or is it not? It's a war of choice, says the cardinal. I guess President Trump just decided to do it and he didn't have to and it didn't have any meaning. We need to restore peace immediately. That's what the Pope is saying. And we'll get into that in just a second. But I just wanted to pause. I think it was St. Augustine who really kind of wrote the just war doctrine that Catholics embrace. And let me just tell you what the just war doctrine is, because I don't think that cardinal really told you. It's a doctrine of military ethics holding that war, while terrible, is sometimes morally justifiable if it meets strict criteria. Well, what is that criteria? You need to have a just cause. Initiating war must be for a righteous cause, such as self-defense or protecting innocent life. Well, I could break all of these down. I think we could say, I just heard another briefing this morning, we think actually Iran already has 2 or 3 atomic weapons to use. That's the first I'd heard that this morning. But we knew that they were developing. They said, they bragged in the last negotiation that they had enough enriched uranium to make 13 bombs. So, and we also found out that they have strategic missiles that can reach European cities and soon American cities. We know they want to destroy Israel. They want to destroy the United States. They've been telling us that for years. It's chanting death to America. So let's see, what did that say? It must be self-defense. Okay. Or protecting innocent life. What happened with those, 35,000 Iranians that were murdered by this regime? Well, okay, I think you can check off just cause. Check. Got it. Legitimate authority. It can only be authorized by sovereign entities, not individuals. Only sovereign entities can declare war, like maybe a president? Well, I think so. Check that. Right intention. The objective must be to achieve peace and address injustice, not for territorial gain or revenge. Okay, so if we wanted revenge on Iran, we wouldn't be pausing. We wouldn't be talking. I mean, really, considering what they've done to us, the way they've killed our soldiers, maimed, wounded them through the decades, held captive many hundreds of Americans. I could go on and on with their crimes toward us. That really wasn't revenge. I mean, we should have done that a lot sooner, and we should have finished the job, but that's really not what President Trump has done. He keeps stopping and trying to negotiate with them so that he doesn't have to destroy more of their territory and their capabilities, because it does hurt innocent people. And so it's not, and we're not taking their territory. We don't want to take Iran, for heaven's sake. And it's not for revenge. So check 3. 4, it's the last resort. All other peaceful options, diplomacy, sanctions must be exhausted. How many years have we put sanctions on Iran? How many years? I can tell you it's decades. And they've been worthless. And they have played us and the international community over and over again because people were scared to death of them because they're ruthless. So they got away with that. I think the peaceful options have been exhausted. So check. Number 4. Number 5, you have to have a reasonable hope of success, and the war should not be a futile sacrifice of life. Well, we know we can, with our equipment and our abilities, we know we have, we've shown that we had more than a reasonable hope of success. And it was certainly not a futile sacrifice of life. And I don't think anybody on our side would be happy that Iranians were killed. But the guys that are guilty of the war crimes, they have to go. And so the mullahs, they're ruthless, murderous people. And so check number five, reasonable hope of success. Number six, proportionality. And that means the overall good from the war must outweigh the destruction it causes. What is the good of this war? Iran is threatening the world. You've already seen they've attacked their Middle East neighbors. They have no respect for their neighbors. They have been rattling their sword and threatening Israel for, again, decades, probably longer than that. And they have certainly done the same for us. They wish us death. They're not lying about that. So the overall good of this war is that really the world will be safer. The Middle East will be safer. And so that destruction that we did to their land is regrettable. It is regrettable. We had to get rid of their weapons, and that's what we did. So, yep, proportionality, I think so. Check six. So that's just war. I want to listen again to what that cardinal said. I want you to listen. Now, I just told you what the doctrine of the church is on just war. Let's listen to clip one again.
Is this a just war?
No. Under Catholic teaching, this is not a just war. The Catholic faith teaches us there are certain prerequisites for a just war. You can't go for a variety of different aims. You have to have a focus aim, which is to restore justice and restore peace. That's it.
Iran has been the chief exporter of terror. Is there no scenario in which preventing that can be a just war?
It's an abominable regime, and it should be removed. But this is a war of choice that we went to, and I think it's embedded in a wider moment in the United States, this worrying, which is this. We're seeing before us the possibility of war after war after war.
Nonsense. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's pushing that. But the other part, that's a terrible regime. They need to be taken out. And then he moves quickly to, this is a war of choice. He doesn't have a solution about how to take out that regime, but, you know, he knows that this is a terrible thing to do. I don't know. It just is nonsense. It's nonsense. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, among other things. But first, right now, the voices in our culture are loud, but truth is often silent. And today, Preborn needs you to help speak that truth. Women facing unplanned pregnancies are often pressured to act quickly before they have time to pause, breathe, or hear the truth about life, dignity, and hope. But I refuse to be silent, and I'm asking you to join me. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman is welcomed with compassion and given a free ultrasound. She sees the life growing inside her, often for the very first time. And in that sacred moment, fear gives way to clarity. And she's offered something the abortion industry will never provide, and that's the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of forgiveness, the hope for her baby, just hope, living hope. This April, our goal, meaning Preborn's goal, is to have 11,000 gospel conversations, that's conversations about Jesus, in Preborn Network clinics, trusting God to bring the increase as we remain faithful to speak. You can help make that possible by sponsoring ultrasounds. And you know that because if you listen to the show, you know that. And you probably remember it's only $28 for one ultrasound. Just $28. And, of course, any multiple of that, $140 sponsors five ultrasounds. That's so that a mom can see her baby in utero. And, you know, I think something like, well, it's over half. It may be 60%. I wish I had the exact percentage of the women who see their baby in that 40 ultrasound just can't bring themselves to terminate the life. It's pretty amazing. It's just, it's God's magic, really, to see that baby. And so if you would like to provide an ultrasound for these moms and also make it possible for that conversation to take place about forgiveness and living hope, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, Bruce is going to join me today as we listen to Pope Leo's conversation. We're going to talk a little bit about that meme that President Trump posted that has caused Christians to be up in arms and we'll talk about that. And we'll also do a lot of commenting on Pope Leo's conversation and his words regarding the war in Iran. So stay tuned for today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This morning, many of the president's supporters furious, calling this picture that Trump posted appearing to depict himself as Jesus blasphemy. Trump took the picture down, but is defending the post, claiming he thought it showed him as a doctor.
Mr. President, did you post that picture of yourself depicted as Jesus Christ?
Well, it wasn't depicted. It was me. I did post it, and I thought it was me as a doctor.
The president insisting.
It's supposed to be me as a doctor making people better, and I do make people better. I make people a lot better.
But the vice president saying something different.
I think the president was posting a joke, and of course he took it down because he recognized that a lot of people weren't understanding his humor.
It comes as the president is bashing the Pope.
He was very much against what I'm doing with regard to Iran, and you cannot have a nuclear Iran. Pope Leo would not be happy with the end result.
Okay, so let's talk about this. This is the other big thing that happened, and we're going to get back to Pope Leo and the Cardinals in just a second, because in the context of all of that happening, the back and forth with the Pope, came this meme. And I know most of you know about this. It's like a rendering of, if you're older like I am, and you had maybe one of those Bibles, King James Bibles that you got as a kid, there were these famous paintings by, I wish I could remember this gentleman's name, but it was all in color. It showed Jesus with this long, flowing, almost blonde hair with blue eyes, and they had a characteristic look. And I would say that this particular picture, rendering, had very much that feel. And so it showed a man in robes with, like, well, there were armies behind him, like American armies, and there was he had a robe on. He didn't have a crown. He had a robe, and he's leaning over, and somebody's sick, and he's kind of putting his hand on him, and it's got other people on the side. So that's, I don't know if that's a great, look it up if that's not a very good description of it for you. So for those of us that grew up in with the Sunday school of my day and the Bibles that we had, it did look like Jesus. It did at first glance. But President Trump, you heard, he said, no, I thought that was a man, like a doctor, healing someone. All right, so the uproar. Look, let me say first off, if President Trump posted a meme of himself as Jesus, I would be furious. I would be so upset. But if I thought that were the case, I'd be, you know, shouting it from the housetops. But I really don't. I take him at his word. Now, you may think that's crazy, but I'll tell you why I take him at his word. He has a team, a media team, that helps him with his postings. He used to have one guy, and I knew him. And now you're going to say, what's his name? I can't think of his name. But he's a great guy. And he left to get married. And he was very careful. I think President Trump, of course, does a lot of his own posting. But this guy was great. But he's gone now. And so President Trump is not, he's probably approving all these things that go out. But he's not pinning all of them. And I can't imagine he was scrolling, sitting around scrolling through I don't think he does a lot of scrolling, but he, I think someone posted that for him. He looked at it, and look, he doesn't have the same background. I don't think he was in Sunday school looking at those kinds of pictures that I'm just describing by that artist. I probably could really easily believe that when he looked at that, he wasn't thinking Jesus. It did look, it could easily be, if you didn't have that background, someone in ancient times healing, or looking down on somebody healing, it could be that. And you might say, well, that's ridiculous. But I think it seems ridiculous because many of us have a church background, and we just we think alike on those things, but I don't think he does. And he did take it down, and he did say he thought it was him as a doctor. I honestly don't think President Trump would claim to be Jesus. I really don't. I know he's very boastful, but I don't think he would do that. I think he said too many things that would sort of illustrate his humility before God, and I don't think he would do that. So that's my position on that. And so you can write me if you don't agree with me, which I'm sure a lot of you don't. You think that's terrible. You think I'm defending him because I like him. I do like him, but I recognize when he does things that he shouldn't be doing. But if you want to write to me, do that at sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net, or call at 662-821-2040 and leave a message. It'll have some prompts, and it will, you know, whatever you have on your mind, feel free to do that. I'd like to hear from you. 662-821-2040, or write me at sandy@afr.net. All right, so that's the meme. And I don't know, Bruce, if you have any comments about that. You were upset about it very much.
I was, and I'm probably not as forgiving regarding the meme as you may be. What I hope is that if President Trump didn't understand what he did, it's because he's immature if he is a Christian. You know, we've often speculated, is he a Christian, is he not? I don't know. I can't say, only he knows. But I will say this. I think it's really bold for people to be getting on to President Trump about a single photograph. And again, I find it disgusting, but when you compare that to the Pope himself, and now I'm going to step on some people's toes here, but I think it needs to be said. You know, Trump had a moment of probably really bad judgment by doing that. The popes have centuries of misrepresenting themselves as the they call themselves the vicar of Christ. Now, what does that mean? That means basically they are Christ's direct representative on this earth, that they are in, they believe they are infallible, that they cannot make a mistake. They believe they're here to tell people about faith, morals, and doctrine,
and war.
No matter what they say, it's correct.
Yeah,
and they think the Catholic Church thinks, and this is not directed at Catholics. This is directed at the Catholic Church. My ire here. They believe that the Pope has inherited the Church from St. Peter himself, that he is a direct representative from St. Peter. Now, you talk about people that are influencing millions of people on this earth, millions of Catholics, and a lot of other people who aren't even really Catholic do respect the Pope. And, you know, going back to that first clip, Sandy, of what the Cardinal was saying about
Just war.
And yeah. First off, he says it's a war of choice. Well, let me tell you something. Every war is a war of choice. No war gets started by accident. It doesn't mean it's a good choice or a bad choice. Every war is a war of choice. That's kind of a misnomer. But he talks about what an abominable, and that was his word, abominable regime the Iranian regime is. But yet, he doesn't have any answer as to
how we can cure that.
He just takes to attacking President Trump for trying to get rid of this abominable regime. You know, I'd like you to ask women in Iran that are persecuted if they walk around without a hijab or if they try to drive or if they try to get education. You ask them if they're receiving justice. You ask those maybe as many as 45,000 people. You ask the families of those people that were murdered in the last month
by the mullahs in Iran,
this regime. Mm-hmm. You ask them if they've got justice. Mm-hmm. Restoring peace? How in the world would you restore peace if Iran ever got nuclear weapons? You know, he talked about, oh, we fear war upon war after war. I'll tell you where there'd be war after war after war is if Iran gets nuclear weapons. They will do nothing but attack, attack, attack. Any country that fails to bow the knee to them,
they will attack.
Yeah.
That will be endless war.
It'll be a nightmare, and that is exactly what they want to do. Well, Bruce, a lot of the things, and that's a very good point you just made, by the way. Pope Leo, I loved Pope John. Pope John was John Paul, I think it was his second name. I don't feel this way about every pope, but the last two popes have just been, well, to me, apostate. And a lot of our Catholic friends feel the same way too. But I want to go into Pope Leo and some of the things that he has said. And so I think let's start with number two, Pope Leo on the ceasefire. This is, I think, Easter weekend when he said this.
Holy Father, can I ask you what your hopes are for the Middle East?
I'm praying for peace. I hope that ceasefire would be the most effective way to work together, to find peace for all parties, to respect all parties, and to come to a solution, which is too many years in creating problems for everyone. So,
thank you.
Work for peace.
Okay, so a ceasefire is the best way to make peace. That is so naive and ridiculous. A ceasefire with the mullahs, the IRGC, who are slaughterers of their own people, killers, aggressive, no regard for life. In fact, the Islamic byline is, we love death more than they love life. Maybe the Pope doesn't know that, but they're not nice people, and a ceasefire is not going to bring peace with those kinds of people. And so President Trump had his own words to say about the Pope, and he got in trouble for this too. In fact, let's listen. This is President Trump on Pope Leo, clip three.
Will you apologize?
No, I don't, because Pope Leo said things that are wrong. He was very much against what I'm doing with regard to Iran, and you cannot have a nuclear Iran. Pope Leo would not be happy with the end result. You have hundreds of millions of people dead, and it's not going to happen, so I can't. I think he's very weak on crime and other things.
Yeah, and that President Trump also went on to say he's hurting support for us because there are so many Catholics on the globe. I mean, even though we may feel some disdain for this pope, many people don't, and they revere him. And so he is coloring the world's view of this war when we need the world's support for the world's safety and our people. He's poisoning our Catholic Americans, patriots who are conflicted because they love their church, they love their pope, and now he says this. So how are they supposed to feel about the war?
You would think someone that has the responsibilities of the pope would really measure his words and know what he's talking about. But if he is talking about a ceasefire as the way to end this, how naive can you be? Can you count the number of ceasefires and pauses that both Israel and the United States have had with Iran over the years and these terror groups that are supported by Iran? Have they ever culminated in ending anything? No. What they do is they give the bad guys time to recover, regroup, rearm, and get ready again to fight us. They never go away. They never agree. And you know what? You can have a ceasefire, and everyone can sit down at a table and say, yeah, you know what? We have a 10-point plan, and here we go. We're going to have peace. And you could almost guarantee that within 24 to 48 hours, Iran will violate that ceasefire treaty, and then we're back to square one. Now they've bought more time. Now they've made us more. You know, listen, Iran is incredibly smart when it comes to playing the PR game. And what they're trying to do is get the American people to tire of this war. They're trying to spin this that we are losing, that there is no way out, that we will never be able to help the Iranian people, and that this is all a big waste of time. And that's what they're hoping for, is that they can wait us out. They're waiting for the midterm elections to be affected. They're
that's
waiting
right.
for us to, think about when those two pilots ejected over Iran, and one was picked up pretty quickly, but the other was on the run. Really fighting for his life, the thousands of people that Iran deployed to search for that pilot. that navigator. You think about what they would have done from a public relations standpoint had they captured that man.
Oh, honey, they actually spelled it out. They said they were going to burn him alive. They're going to tear him to pieces. And I mean, this is who we're trying to deal with. Okay, Mr. Pope, you go have some peace talks with them and we'll see where you get. And by the way, you might not fare very well either dealing with Islamists because they hate our Savior and they hate all of us who follow him. So I want to read, this is Bruce from CNN. So the Pope was speaking over Easter and he said he hoped Trump would find an off-ramp to end the war. He called for an end to the violence and for leaders to negotiate. CNN goes on to say it's rare for popes to cite world leaders by name, and this is one of the first times Leo has cited Trump publicly. But the CNN says he spoke in a language that would be heard and understood inside the White House. So Pope Leo is going to start, I guess, directing American policy, American foreign policy, and shouting out, calling out our president. That's his new role. On one side, Pope Leo, Chicago-born Augustinian friar, known as a gentle and reserved character, who does not seek the spotlight. On the other hand, President Trump, an almost omnipresent figure in the news agenda and disruptor of global politics. So this is one thing that he said that I really want to address. It started with Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, and he was framing the war effort as divinely supported, even using the scriptural justification. I don't know what he used. They don't say that, and I don't know. But Leo pushed back and said, Jesus is the King of Peace who rejects war, whom no one can use to justify war. He does not listen to the prayers of those who wage war, but rejects them. And then he said that all those who wage war have hands full of blood. Okay, so Pope Leo, I hope you're listening because I got a few things to say to you. Jesus is the King of Peace. Yes, he is. But he's also going to be that vengeance seeker who comes on a white horse with a sword coming out of his mouth and his eyes blazing like fire to get justice from the earth to kill. It's very clear in Revelation, and that's Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords is what's written on his leg. And so he's not exactly Mr. Nice Guy like you think he is. He's not a King of Peace in a meaningless peace. In fact, I would say that I want to make the point a little bit differently. If Pope Leo believes in the Trinity, which I believe Catholics do, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are three in one, three different forms of God, three different iterations, whatever you want to say, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The book of Colossians tells us that Jesus, the Son, was present at the foundation of the world. He was present at creation. He participated. He is absolutely the creator. Look it up in Colossians. So I make that point because we have the Old Testament, right? And in the Old Testament, we have a lot of war. We have a lot of killing. Jesus was there. He is God. When King David, who was described in Scripture as a man after God's own heart, waged war by God's decree on purpose. He started his public service as killing Goliath. Why didn't they just have peace talks? Why didn't he just sit down and talk to that giant? Why did he have to kill him? Because he understood that sometimes killing is required. Sometimes violence is required when you're dealing with wickedness and evil. And so Jesus was present all through the Old Testament when King David was waging war with God's blessing, Saul too, but I'm just picking on King David. So don't tell me that Jesus is only the King of Peace who rejects war and who no one can use to justify war, because that's absolutely not true. Pope Leo, don't you read your Bible? So going on to this, he says he does not listen to the prayers of those who wage war, but rejects them. Well, tell that to King David, the man after God's own heart. That's just not true. It's not true. It's a real twisting of things that are not even scriptural. And I want to play another thing. This is something he said, I think, on Easter weekend as well. This would be clip 5. Let's listen.
The first American pope has been outspoken against the war in Iran, calling Trump's threat to wipe out a whole civilization truly unacceptable.
Attacks on civilian infrastructure is against international law, but that it is also a sign of the hatred, the division, the destruction that the human being is capable of.
Trump firing back, calling the pope weak on crime and terrible for foreign policy, adding, "I don't want a pope who criticizes the president of the United States because I'm doing exactly what I was elected in a landslide to do." But the pope says he's not afraid of Trump.
I have no fear, neither the Trump administration nor speaking out loudly about the message of the gospel. And that's what I believe.
Trump now facing widespread backlash. American Catholic leaders condemning his comments. Bishop Robert Barron, who sits on the president's own Religious Liberty Commission, calling them entirely inappropriate and disrespectful. And he says Trump should apologize.
All right, Bruce, I want to go back that just to bring you in on this. He said a lot of things. A lot of things were said in that clip. But he said that it's an international war crime to destroy the infrastructure of another nation. Would you comment on that? I think you might have something to say about that.
Well, first off, he's wrong on that, but let's put it into the context of what's been done in this, I'll just call it a war, in this military action. I think the Trump administration, I cannot speak for the Israelis, but I can tell you that I think the Trump administration's military has gone out of their way to stay away from civilian casualties, to stay away from destroying civilian infrastructure. We have seen, how many times have we seen these guided missiles on the news? And they'll target a building, but they'll go underneath, let's say like a garage door that's open. They won't destroy the whole building. They'll get the missile to go underneath and find its target inside. I mean, it blows me away the precision with which our soldiers operate. And the again, the caution they take when they unleash their weapons. You know, we very early in this, there was a report that the U.S. had hit a school with a missile. I don't know where that investigation is right now, so I don't know if it happened. But think about this. We are now 6 weeks into this, and I have heard absolutely nothing else that we have hit any kind of civilian target. Now, I'm not saying no civilians have been killed as a result of these attacks. I cannot say that. But to say that we are targeting people purposely, that is a lie.
Yes, absolutely. And so I'm glad you made that point, Bruce. But the other part that I was going to make a point about is it can't possibly be international war crime to destroy civilian infrastructure, and I'll tell you why. Because during World War II, we absolutely laid the city of Dresden, Germany, to waste. You should see the pictures. I know you have. It's like an atomic bomb hit. It's just everything is destroyed because the Germans refused to surrender. They refused to stop fighting, and the Japanese did the same thing. They were warlike, dangerous people who were determined to keep killing and destroying other nations until they had conquered and had power. So we laid Japan, two cities, to waste as well. And I don't believe I ever remember that coming up as an international war crime, Bruce.
Well, there's always people that want war crimes charged. But as a result of those things that you mentioned, both the bombings of Germany and Japan, there were never any war crime trials held. You look at the Iranian IRGC. I think they're in charge right now. I think they're calling
yes,
the shots.
Yes, they are.
The military has basically been decimated, and a lot of the civilian leaders, or whatever you want to call the Ayatollahs, they've been killed. So it's the IRGC. They are basically the ones who did the slaughter of their own people. Now they're in control of whatever military weapons are left in Iran, and they have not quit. They are still shooting missiles into Israel. They're still attacking other people. They're threatening our ships if they go through the Strait of Hormuz. So, you know, when you talk about a war crime. You talk of, we're focusing on the wrong side. The war crimes have been committed by the Iranians against their own people. And again, this is a, one of these red herrings that people on the, I'll call them people on the left, always throw up. Anytime we get into a military action, they start talking about war crimes. War is dirty. War is not clean cut. There are some rules, and those rules need to be followed. You can't just slaughter people because they're there. If somebody wants to surrender, you take their surrender. But if someone continues to shoot at you, you are justified in going after them.
And that's something that you would know as a former FBI agent. You had to think that through. Okay, so a couple of other things. And then you have a piece there that I want you to read. Because we found out that Pope Leo may not be so innocent in this. And I'm going to ask you to read that in just a second. I want to, you know what, I'll save these quotes till after you read that. So tell us what you're reading and what's going on there.
Well, just for context, you have to remember that Chicago is very proud that Pope Leo is from there. He grew up about 5 miles from me. I think he's about 6 months difference in age from me. So I know all about where Pope Leo grew up. And if you recall, obviously President Obama is from the Chicago area, or that's what he calls home. And his political advisor, his chief guy who ran everything about Obama's campaigns, was David Axelrod. David Axelrod is a Jew. David Axelrod, on the 9th of April, had a meeting at the Vatican with Pope Leo. Now, I don't know.
People don't know who David Axelrod is.
Yeah, David Axelrod really is nothing but a political consultant. He's a community activist. He really enabled Barack Obama through a series of lies and misrepresentations and smokescreens to become the president. David Axelrod is not a good man.
Yep.
He's a punk is what he is, really. So anyway, he had a meeting, David Axelrod, on the 9th of April with the pontiff at the Vatican. And I'm reading something by a gentleman named Jesus Enrique Rojas, who's commenting as a Catholic. And here's what he wrote on X. So the Pope met with David Axelrod last week. David Axelrod, Obama's campaign architect, a man who is not Catholic, who has never met a Pope before, and whose entire career has been engineering political narratives for the American left. And then, by pure coincidence, the Pope immediately started lobbing shots at the Trump administration, and three U.S. cardinals popped up on 60 Minutes doing the same thing following their meeting. All organically, I'm sure. I'm a practicing Catholic. I need you to understand that part. But in my opinion, Trump has all the right to lash out at the Pope. Maybe you'll disagree, but in the end, Trump talks like Trump. Water is wet. I'm talking about my church being run like a DNC satellite office, but with a golden throne. This is the same Vatican that watched governments padlock churches during COVID and said nothing. That let Biden take communion while funding abortion and said nothing. That fired Bishop Strickland for defending actual Catholic doctrine. That removed Bishop Fernandez in Puerto Rico for defending religious exemptions the catechism itself supports. But somehow, Trump is the threat to human dignity. Pope Francis was bad. Leo has turned out to be worse. Francis at least was vague about his politics. Leo went and hired the consulting firm. The man has ignored the slaughter of Christians across Nigeria, the Sahel, India, Syria, Bangladesh, Pakistan. Hundreds of believers murdered, churches burned, pastors kidnapped. His response? Platitudes about dialogue. Of course, he won't even name who's doing the killing. But he'll fly across continents to make interfaith gestures the week after his people coordinated a media hit on a sitting U.S. president. The weaponization of belief is obvious. You get the Pope to pick a fight with Trump, and suddenly millions of conservative Catholics have to choose between their faith and their vote.
Wow, honey. That's, I had not had a chance to read all of that when I gave that to you. That's amazing. Well, there is something really rotten in Denmark or maybe the Vatican. And I want to read one more thing, that a couple of more things here that Pope Leo has said. Praying for peace, Leo said, was a way to, quote, break the demonic cycle of evil, to build instead the kingdom of God where there are no swords, drones, or unjust profit. So I want to just say something about that, because the words are just, it's hard to detect what part's not biblical if you don't know Scripture. And so I just want to comment, because I think this is very dangerous for all of us, for certainly for Catholics, because they believe everything the Pope says, and they generally don't know Scripture. So Pope Leo says, praying for peace is a way to break the demonic cycle of evil. Okay, so I agree with that, but I wouldn't just pray for peace. I think there's more to pray for. I think there's more to pray for. There's more at stake even than just having peace. Peace at all costs? That's what Neville Chamberlain before World War II was doing with Hitler. Peace, you know, at all costs. Peace. Why did he say peace with honor?
Peace in our time.
Peace in our time. And he just kept equivocating to the Nazis as they kept swallowing up Europe. But he was, we have an agreement. We're going to, you know, let them take Poland, but we'll have peace. And so it's a silly thing. The God that we serve is not silly. And when he talks about peace, he means meaningful peace. He means the peace of God that passes all understanding, not just a situation where men aren't mad at each other or don't kill each other. That's a shallow peace. He's talking about a much deeper peace than that. But the thing that really grabbed me here was indicating that if we prayed for peace, we could build instead, we humans, could build the kingdom of God where there are no swords, drones, or unjust profit. Okay, first of all, you and I cannot do that. No matter how we pray, no matter how we stop wars, we cannot build the kingdom of God here where there are no swords or drones, because there are still humans here. And it's the human heart that uses those swords. It's the human heart that sets off those drones to kill people. Those things are just inanimate objects. And we don't have the power to do this. God is going to bring his kingdom. And when he does that and brings that peace that he's talking about, there will be no swords. There will be no death, no dying. And that's a future thing that you and I cannot bring on. We can't control it. And no, praying for peace is going to bring it about. I just want to make that clear. He says also, enough of the idolatry of self and money. Enough of the display of power. Enough of war. Well, I just like to say, what does the Vatican have? Do they have idolatry? Do they have wealth, Bruce? Do they have enough of the display of power? What do they do when they wear their robes and chant and walk around those very rich, you know, we've been there in Vatican. It's just beautiful. What is that if it's not idolatry of self and money? Really, I'm just serious. What?
I totally agree, Sandy. I cannot believe that someone actually thinks of themselves as the representative directly from God on this earth. We've had prophets in the past. I do not think the Pope is a prophet. And he can, I think it's, you talk about blasphemy. Look, let me put it this way. I pray for President Trump. I think what he posted was terrible. I hope he's telling the truth when he says he was thinking of himself as a doctor. But regardless, I pray for him that he draws closer to God and that he is a Christian. But having been to the Vatican, it is just ridiculously ornate. It is full of treasures. And my understanding is what is on display is only approximately 10% of the treasures that are being held by the Vatican. I remember when I was in Los Angeles, a sign there, the Catholic Church was building a huge building, and they basically were shaming people who really had not much money. They were really targeting Hispanic minorities, that they needed to give money to this project. And I thought, you know, is that really what we're about? Is that what the Catholic Church should be doing? You know, the Catholic Church has a history of turning their back on all kinds of problems. Ask little kids that were abused sexually and in other ways by priests as they were going to school in Catholic schools or in Catholic churches. Ask them about justice and whether the Catholic Church stood up for them. The Catholic Church was complicit with Nazi Germany during World War II because they were afraid they were going to be taken over if they didn't. And as far as I know, they submitted to allowing the swastika to go up in churches, people giving the Heil Hitler salute. There's speculation, and it's probably been documented enough to call it more than speculation, that once World War II was ending, the Vatican assisted multiple Nazis who were guilty of mass murder. They assisted them in fleeing from Europe and getting to Argentina and other South American countries. So for the Pope to come with his history of his church to come and tell Donald Trump that he should stop pursuing a regime that for 47 years has done nothing but slaughter people and threaten to slaughter people, I just find it the biggest hypocrisy I've ever heard.
Well, that's well said, honey. And I just want to, before we say goodbye here, I'm sure some of you are Catholic listening to me. I believe Bruce and I have great Catholic friends. I have had Catholic friends for a number of years, and you've heard me talk about it in the movement. And I believe that the Catholic teaching is off the mark from Scripture. It just is not all of it. And so we look for the things we agree on. That's what I've always tried to do. But certainly, it seems like they're getting a little bit more bold and in their error, and it causes us to have to speak up. You know, I'm happy, and I have been for years, to work with my Catholic friends. But you need to know. Look, don't take my word for it. Get your Bible out and read. Get it an easy translation, something that's readable. We have the same Bible. We don't read different scriptures. You have some books, the Apocrypha, they call it, that we don't have in the center of your Bible. But we got mostly it's everything. It's the Old Testament, the New Testament. I would just recommend you start reading it. Maybe get some help, and you can read it without help. Just I heard someone say recently, and I want to give this advice. If you've never read it before, not really read it, there'll be a lot of things that you read that you won't understand. Don't get stuck on that. Just keep reading, because there will be some things in there that you will understand. It will hit you between the eyes, and you will feel the power of God as you read it. So that's our look, I'm not the arbiter. I'm not the plumb line, but the Word of God is. And with that being the plumb line, there's some problems here. So I think we're done, Bruce, don't you? Think we're done?
Yeah, and I just wanted to reiterate, Sandy, what you just said, that I know we took some, especially me, I took some strong words against the Catholic Church today. I have hundreds, if not thousands, of Catholic friends. Everyone I grew up with was Catholic. So I am not this tirade of mine against them personally, but I am directing it against many of the people within the church. To me, the Catholic Church is like a corporation more than a church, and they have a lot of problems. And I pray that people will, that the Catholic Church will right itself, and that it will be something that people will be glad to follow, and it will be looked upon well by our God.
Thank you, honey. Well, before we say goodbye, you know, as Preborn celebrates 20 years of saving babies, there's a moment right now that can save countless lives for years to come. An ultrasound machine doesn't just show a picture. It introduces a mother to her child, and many clinics don't have an ultrasound, nor can they afford one. Preborn's goal is simple and urgent. Place an ultrasound machine in every clinic across America that needs one. If you have the means, would you consider a tax-deductible gift of $15,000 to save countless lives? $15,000 for one ultrasound machine to be placed somewhere in this country to save, you know, countless numbers of babies and their moms, too, in a different way. We had a listener recently who generously did exactly that, gave $15,000 to pay for an ultrasound. And we were just startled and humbled and very grateful. And I just always want to say that when I bring this to your attention. Obviously, some of you can't, most of you probably can't write a check for $15,000. $28 is all you need to provide one ultrasound or any multiple of that. Just give what you can, what you can afford. And you can do that at preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, I think we're done, and I want to thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.